Grab your change and take a dip. It's time for a brand new Pick and Mix.
Yeah. Welcome, one and all, to the beginning of your Radio Sega Live Friday. As always, I'm Green Vibrant, and for the next 2 hours here on Pick and Mix, we've got for you the finest array of songs from the Sonic Rush Adventure soundtrack. What you heard to kick off the show was Boss Deep Core. Spoilers, that's the true final boss theme, as with a ton of... As with a ton of Sonic games from around that time, there's a true ending that you get once you get all the Chaos Emeralds. And when you know it, Deep Core is the boss theme. What a banger. After that, continuing on strongly, that was Haunted Ship, the Act 1 and 2 mix. And then after that was Windmill Village Mode 5. Got to explain that one as well. Why Mode 5? What do the modes mean? So, Windmill Village is your hub for the game. It's just a little menu screen, basically. But every time you power up as a team, you know, by unlocking a new vehicle, or getting all the Chaos Emeralds, for example, or just doing anything that progresses the story a significant amount, I think it's mainly... to do with the ships. I can't speak today already, but it's to do basically with all the ships and boats you unlock throughout the game, and once you get more, then you unlock a new mode, and the music changes. That's Mode 5, the final one. That's the one that you hear the most, especially if you're going for the true ending. That's the one you'll constantly hear, but it's still really good. They're all very good, but that's my favourite one of the bunch, so I stuck it in at the start of the show there. Anyways, how are we all doing tonight? I hope you're having a fantastic Friday night, and sorry I couldn't be here with you live, as you can probably tell by now, by the fact that I'm not in the chat room, etc. Or maybe I am, who knows? But either way, yeah, sadly tonight is a pre-record, as at the time you're hearing this, I am at none other than Western Supersonic 2022. Well, I'm not, I'm in Western Supermare for the event. I'll be hanging out with friends, and you know, anyone from the Radio Sega family who wants to drop by as well. But yeah, at this current moment in time, I'm not there. I will be there on the Saturday, but I'm away in Western Supermare having a fun time with the squad ahead of a great Sonic convention, which will have a Radio Sega presence. So can't wait to see anyone who's attending there. Be sure to drop me a wave. I'll have a Radio Sega shirt on, so you'll know it's me. I won't be the man behind the booth. That's going to be, hopefully, providing all still going well, the one and only Forever Sonic. You know, sad that he's no longer with Radio Sega, but he's man in the booth once again. And I will be walking around as well. And I believe nothing going wrong. Mr. Kevin LMC should be there as well. But I can't remember anyone else. But if you are attending, be sure to let people know. But like I say, you're more than welcome to come up and hang around, of course. Who would I be if I said no, right? You're more than welcome to. Anyway, that's the elephant in the room for this episode. How about last week's elephant? Yeah, so... here in the UK... we had a little storm called Storm Eunice, a storm which affected people varyingly. It happened as well in Western Europe, but a lot of places didn't get hit as badly as some places in the UK. But there was other places in Western Europe as well, that is worth a mention. I believe they named it differently over there. The Met Office over here likes to name things like Americans do now, because, you know, it's the trend. But what happened there was Storm Eunice hit, and in particular, it only seemed like at first it was going to be quite bad in Wales, and I'm obviously not in Wales, as you can tell by the accent, although, once again, that's not a deterring factor, because I could have moved there. But anyway, I'm not in Wales. I'm in the southeast of England, an area which happened to go into red warning just ahead of the storm hitting. So you saw a lot of Radio Sega hosts, like Resident SD, were still going, same with Gavi as well. Meanwhile, myself and VG Beats, both of whom were meant to be off on the Friday night, we're both in the southeast. We're not actually that far away from each other. So as a result, both me and VG Beats had our power hit out. Not my house. No. I was safe. I was fine. But I was without power. It kept lipping off and on for a lot of the day. VG Beats had it a bit worse, because my power did come back on before the start of the show, but I didn't want to chance it, because it kept blipping on and off. And sometimes it would go for, like, a second. But that's still enough to take my computer down and stop the stream for, like, 5-10 minutes, you know, while I get it set back up. Sometimes that would be the case. Sometimes it would go for, like, 20-30 minutes. And in one instance, it blipped and then just didn't come back for, like, 2 hours. So I didn't really want to chance it. And I didn't want to risk, you know, breaking my computer while turning it on in a storm or anything like that. Just in case it went again. Luckily, that wasn't the case, but even by that point, by the time it was stable, which was kind of nearing 6 o'clock, just didn't have enough time to get the show ready and get it to a point where I felt comfortable presenting it and feeling like it would be a good show, you know? So, just not wanted to chance the weather, And not wanting to deliver a bad show because of such little preparation as a result of the storm just meant I just decided to skip it in the end. But hopefully you can understand. We will be doing the rap mega mix sometime soon to make up for that one. But, you know, we'll make it up for you, like I say. But apologies about the lack of show. But things are better here now. I was telling this story to people on Discord, but there are basically, I think there's either two or three separate lines for my quite small village that I live in. There's one which extends into a town on what is effectively for me the right hand side, and there's one that what is once again effectively for me the left hand side, and the one in the middle. I'm on the one in the middle, you know, this is relative to the location of my house, like I say. The line on the right hand side of the thing, which is just kind of a pass over from the town on that side, basically. So the right hand side of our village just happens to kind of get the dregs of power from this other town that's just like, you know, sort of 3-4 minutes out in the car, and then it switches over to our own power. The reason I'm going into this is because both that town and that side of the village had their power knocked out until like Wednesday afternoon, just gone. It was out for days and days, and it only finally came back stable, I think it was Tuesday afternoon. So, and now to explain to you, that side of the village, you know, it's a bit of a walk, it's like a 3-4 minute walk from where I am, but that's only because you have to go round. That side of the village technically begins with a pub, and that pub is like overhead, if you look from like a, you know, bird's eye view, it's like meters from my house. Like, how lucky is that, that I managed to get power back by Friday? Whereas if I lived like a couple meters further into the village, I wouldn't have had any till Tuesday. So I'm feeling extremely lucky. You know, I got out of it very nicely. You know, there wasn't any damage to my property. There was a lot of damage kind of hanging around in the general Essex area where I am. But thankfully, you know, nothing to me, family members, friends, etc. Some close calls to property. In the instance of one friend who, whose dad nearly got knocked out. His car nearly got knocked out by a solar panel that just kind of blew off a building. But my neighbours didn't get so lucky. They're not technically my neighbours, but you can see them outside of my bedroom window. Not only did their fence just blow away, but the concrete beam that's in the floor that holds the fence panels in place just kind of went wonky. It just started to fall over. Concrete, might I add, that's buried into the ground. It just kind of went whoop. They had a fun time putting that back up, but it is back up, thankfully. But like I say, nothing to myself, any friends or family, etc. We got quite lucky, but there was a little bit of destruction around here. I can't speak on behalf of VG Beats, but things might not have been great around there as well. But we're all safe. That's what matters here at Radio Sega. We're all safe. And we're here to deliver you some great live content throughout the next weekend. So do join us for some fun, including the show right here, kicking it all off. So much fun to come this weekend, by the way. I don't know if you're ready for it, but it's gonna be banging. And we'll get into all that news later on in the show. An entire segment dedicated to the fun and festivities that we've had on Game Blast. Outside of that, I think that's pretty much all I need to explain, apart from the fact it's all about Sonic Rush Adventure tonight. I thought I'd get in the mood for some Sonic games, considering, you know, where I'm going this time tomorrow. I'll already be done with it, but still be chilling with some friends, talking all things Sonic. But, you know, point being, anyway, what I'm getting at is I wanted to get in the mood. So I'm going to be talking about a Sonic game I completed for the first time recently. And not only that, but a Sonic game I got the true ending of for the first time recently. It was fantastic. I was always kind of on Sonic Rush Adventure because I'm super nostalgic for the original Rush, as you'd hear on that episode I did back in sort of June-ish time, I believe, last year, regarding Sonic Rush, as it was a request by Twinny to talk about that game. But yeah, I've always been nostalgic for that one. It was the first game that was mine on the first console that was mine. It wasn't a hand-me-down, it wasn't shared with a sibling, it was just mine. So as a result, I've always been a bit of a fanboy and a bit nostalgic for the original Rush, so I've always disregarded Rush Adventure as a bit of a lesser game, which is entirely unfair, because it is the better game, having played it completely through for the first time. I tried playing it through about, goodness, 2013 was 9 years ago now. That was the last time I think I attempted playing through the game, and I got stuck at Sky Babylon, and before that, I didn't really play it far at all. But finally did it, and it was such a great game. Left me with so many warm feelings about it. I adored it. I can't wait to talk to you more about it later on in the show. But I thought we were going to do another favourite games episode today. Especially since it's pre-recorded. These are easier to do pre-recorded. You know, not too much stuff that you've got to rely on live audiences for, that sort of thing. So I thought, perfect. Great time to do it. And even better timing with the fact that I'm going to a Sonic fan convention tomorrow when you're hearing this. So, let's do it. Let's talk all things Sonic Rush Adventure while playing its amazing soundtrack. And that soundtrack was another sticking point for me because Hideki Naganuma composed the original, you know, Jet Set Radio Mad Lad himself. is Mad Lad the right word? I don't know. The Jet Set Radio King, basically, himself composed it. So, can't complain at that. Great soundtrack. And I was very salty when I found out he didn't do the soundtrack to Rush Adventure. And as a result, I shunned it. Which is completely unfair, because it's a fantastic OST that emulates his style perfectly. And you're about to hear so many good songs from it. Get yourselves ready. Get strapped in. But not before a round of, wouldn't you know it, somehow we're doing it pre-recorded, a round of Codebreakers. Codebreakers. Yes, Codebreakers, our premier game show here on Pick and Mix. I'm going to give you three anagrams, all of which are scrambled up versions of song titles from Sonic Rush Adventure. It's going to be a good one, trust me. We've got some cracking anagrams here tonight. Come on, yeah, laugh please. So I can't wait to deliver these to you. Now, how we're going to play it. So, as usual, we're going to play the same rules. So, we've got three anagrams. Each one's worth 3 points. There's a total of 9 points for you up for grabs on the Codebreakers leaderboard. But, obviously, there's the whole logistics of playing it pre-recorded. So, what you're going to do is you're going to bundle up all three of your answers in an email to myself. So, you know, get them written down, get them on a notepad, whatever. And once you've heard all three clues, you can go ahead and email them to me. That's viper@radiosega.net. Be sure to include Codebreakers in the subject so I know what it's all about. Discord will be way harder to keep track of, so I'm asking for emails if that's possibly okay, please. You know, no Discord DMs. I'm going to ask viper@radiosega.net and include Codebreakers in the subject. Bundle them all up into one email because it will make it, once again, easier for me to read. Obviously, based on that, there's going to be no results show during the show because I'll give you the answers. That'll make it a bit obvious. So we've got that replaced with a different segment instead, a fresh twist on an old friend. But Codebreakers is here, and we're going to do it over email. So be sure to let me know what your answers are. In the case of Sonic Rush Adventure, sometimes it's going to be a little bit difficult because you got titles in brackets, like you got brackets Act 1 and 2 mix on a lot of these tracks. So in the cases where there's brackets, you ignore the brackets. So for example, a new venture, the title theme, if the answer was new venture, don't include the brackets. It can be an anagram of them. So basically, if I chose a new venture as an anagram, it would just be a new venture. I wouldn't also include title theme in that. So in the case of, say, for example, Pirates Island Act 1 and 2 mix, the anagram would just be of Pirates Island. Hopefully that makes sense enough, but it makes making anagrams way easier because how are you going to easily fit an and symbol? Not the letters, the and symbol into an anagram. It's quite difficult, as is putting brackets in there as well and having them make sense. So we're just doing it without the brackets tonight. If you think you got it, do be sure to let me know over an email, and we'll get into round one right about now. So, Codebreakers round one. Slob by Yank. Slob by Yank. What could that be an anagram of? Do let me know, and while we do so, let's get into the fabled new venture. It's the title theme. It's the main theme to the game itself, and surprisingly, it's not the Surfin' SRA remix. It's the original version with all that DS crunch intact. At least, I think it is. I don't know if the soundtrack version actually up-resed it. But either way, it's a new venture. La la. La la. La la. Yeah.
la.
One game at a time. This is Pick and Mix on Radio Sega.
Thank you.
so good. That was Pilot's Island Act 1 and 2 mix. Before that was C-Map and Kick Up the Block. That was a New Venture title theme. All, of course, from Sonic Rush Adventure. And now it's time to talk to you all things to do with the game. So I'm going to be talking a little bit of the history and a little bit of my opinions on it. So why don't we go ahead and get straight into the history of things. So I've written a little bit down here. Let's get into it. So, unsurprisingly, Sonic Rush Adventure is the sequel to the 2005 DS title Sonic Rush. It was released in 2007, and the game flips the premises of the first game on its head by instead sending Sonic and Tails to Blaze's dimension rather than Sonic and Tails's. And there, they encounter new tropical locations and wacky characters such as serious newcomer Marine the Raccoon while visiting a variety of new... What would you call it, I guess? I don't know. New level themes. Layouts? It's not really like anything you've seen in the Sonic games before. Because if they do tropical, they normally just do, oh, it's a beach and it's sunny. Which is kind of what the hub world is. But, you know, there's a lot of different themes on display. There's a snow level, but it's not your typical snow. It's quite tropical. You've got Plant Kingdom, which is just overgrowth. You know, you've got the machine level. You've got Coral Cave, which is a lovely, beautiful, shiny cave. There's just so much stuff on display, isn't there? That's what I love about it. Sonic Rush also kind of switched things up, but not as much as Rush Adventure for me. You know, a lot of level themes was like, oh, it's kind of like Green Hill, but a bit more edgy in terms of its art style. You had Water Palace, which is the water level, and you had the casino level, you know, and all that sort of stuff. It was a little bit more predictable. You also had, like, an air hangar, which was awesome. Like, love, is it Huge Crisis, I think it's called. I love Huge Crisis, if that is indeed the name. Yeah, Deadline, which isn't really much of anything except a space station, but nothing like a Death Egg or anything like that. I'm getting off track, but Rush had some great level themes, but they were a little bit more on the beaten path of Sonic levels than Rush Adventure tends to be, thanks to its new setting. Anyways, what else have we got? The game setting itself, here we go, we're back on topic. Nice segue, was conceived after the game's director, Sakai Osumi, wanted to create a game on the high seas after having been inspired by various swashbuckling adventure stories released throughout the ages. The game ran on a modified and updated version, rather unsurprisingly, of the Sonic Rush engine, which they tweaked to add a dynamic camera system and more 3D sections to the game, most notable in, say, the boat sections, but on top of that, it's also notable in the boss fights. Because although not many levels have 3D sections, there are quite a few that indeed do, and they pan the camera around wildly as well. That makes for an extremely flashy-looking DS game, in my opinion. Still holds its weight, even in comparison to, you know, far later DS games. The DS lived for a long time after 2007. I think the last games were kind of like 2013, 2014-ish, and this looks better than a good chunk of the library, I'd say. Only really Nintendo's own stuff holds a candle, in my mind. Some great work here from Dibs and Sonic Team. Yeah, still holds up all these years later. Did you know that Marine the Raccoon was also at the centre of controversy during this game's release period? And, well, a little bit after its release as well. Yeah, I mean, sure, she was a bit annoying at times. Just a tad annoying. And the Australian accent they might have put on a little bit too much in places. Core crikey, mate! You know, and all that. Yeah, that was a little bit too much, but it's actually not what I'm talking about here. The game, when it released in PAL territories, had the rather high PEGI 12 plus rating. Not due to graphic violence or gambling or anything like that. No, the only listed reason on the back of the box, and I checked this on my own copy, the only listed reason was language. Now, what's possibly going on here then? Well, Marine's Australian. They love to put on an Australian accent and have her use all the lingo. She doesn't say shrimp on the barbie or anything like that, but she does get close to it various times. Because of that, Marine has a bit of an inclination to use the word, quote, bugger. Which has a very different sexual meaning here in the UK as opposed to everywhere else in the world. As a result, it earned it a 12 plus rating. Unsurprisingly, this would be corrected for future releases here in the UK, where any use of the word was edited out or replaced. Thus, the game received a far more appropriate PEGI 3 rating. The game would go on to receive favourable reviews, and although slightly forgotten nowadays, it's still considered a solid entry into the Sonic series, at least in a lot of people's books. And, you know, given the whole release timing of it, 2007, it's a much-needed breath of fresh air into the franchise. I mean, a resurrection, if you will, after, you know, something kind of killed all morale and hope around it. This was a sign that there were still good things to come, and some great signs left in the Sonic franchise. Now, my own opinions, Ben. So, my first experience with Sonic Rush Adventure, probably dating around the 2008-2009 sort of era. I couldn't tell you exactly when it was. I just don't remember that anymore. But it came off the heels of playing Sonic Rush, and I was like, I played this. This is the sequel. I want to play the sequel. It was cheap enough on eBay. We got a copy. I don't remember ever getting... See, this is where I'm wondering if it's false memories. Because I don't feel like I ever got beyond Plant Kingdom. But then I also have memories of getting to the end of Machine Labyrinth, which is the stage after that. So I honestly can't remember, but point being, it really wasn't that far at all. And I don't think I really got on with it at the time. I think I ended up selling it in the end, because I just kind of didn't get the gameplay loop, because, spoilers, there is a lot of grinding in the game. Not much, but enough for someone who kind of, you know, struggles to understand what to do in games at the age of, like, 6, I think I was at that point. It was enough to kind of get me stumped, and I think I would end up selling it later on to get something else instead. Because, you know, that's kind of how things work back in the day. That's just how they be. So, yeah, as a result, I never got too far in it. Never really grew an attachment to Sonic Rush Adventure. And I just kind of left it. Later on, you know, once again, having to sell stuff to play other stuff would lead me to selling the original Sonic Rush as well. Which is sad, because, you know, first ever video game that was mine and that whole thing. So yeah, as a result, I lost access to both the games, which was annoying, but you know, sometimes needs must, and sometimes you just don't want to play stuff anymore. So that was my logic behind selling them. Then a couple years later, in around 2013-2014-ish time, I can't remember exactly when, I used to frequent boot sales, and I've kind of told the story before quite a lot. You know, I got my Dreamcast from a boot sale, I got quite a lot of consoles from there, because it's a good cheap way to get stuff here in the UK. If you're in America, the closest thing is like a swap meet, as far as I know. But it's a great way to get stuff on the cheap, because quite often people don't know what they want. You know, they're just families selling stuff out the back of their car, so, you know, they're not looking on eBay to see the price of Sonic Rush Adventure or whatever, or a Dreamcast. Quite often you do nowadays get people who know what they're kind of selling and talking about, and they'll try and rip you off. But you still can get a lot of good deals, especially from those sort of stalls that are just families, you know, who aren't really researching too deeply into what they've got. Although it was broken, I got a PS1 for £1 once, and I think the only thing wrong with it is the drive laser, so I should look into fixing it at some point. A single pound for a PS1. That's a nice prop, even if it doesn't work, right? But yeah, as a result, where's this going is what I'm trying to say here. But yeah, as a result, going to these boot sales, I found both Sonic Rush and Sonic Rush Adventure. I believe collectively they wanted less than £5 for the two of them, which was a bargain. It's not like, you know, god tier deal territory, but certainly, you know, both of them on their own off eBay or wherever would have been like £15-20 at the time, so £5 for both was great. So this was the first time I would have played Rush Adventure, around 2013, and this is where, like I said, I got stuck at Sky Babylon, but I was really kind of getting ripped by it before then. I was skipping all the cutscenes and skipping through the story, but the gameplay was interesting. I didn't really get on with some of the grinding, there's not much of it. But there's still enough to where I didn't like it and appreciate it that much. But I did make it all the way to the fourth submarine, I believe. Or the submarine, which is the fourth and final ship, I believe. So I got a decent chunk in. As I said at the start of the show, I think it was Sky Babylon I might have got to. Or the stage after Sky Babylon where I got stuck. But I was having a bit of a difficult time with it. If you don't know your Sonic games, there are quite a lot of bottomless pits. They are easy to avoid. And, you know, your muscle memory and reaction time especially are key factors in avoiding them, but just something I didn't have built up at the time, especially the reaction time thing. Obviously, I'm not going to have muscle memory if I've not played it, but certainly I would react too slow to get out of these situations, and as a result, I did have quite a difficult time and a lot of game overs. But I think just a combination of Sky Babylon being a bit of a difficult stage, not having enough lives, and that just made me give up on it. But I remember getting to a boss. I can't remember what boss it was, but I remember getting to one. And that was where it got too difficult for me, but I don't know if that was... I'm pretty sure it might have been the next level after that in that case. But point being, never finished it, but I had the cartridge. The cartridge is a bit faulty, it still struggles to read in some DSs sometimes, but I had it. I had access to it. and I could come back to it whenever I wanted in the future. So fast forward a couple of years, and by a couple I mean like 8 or 9 at this point, and we bring ourselves to 2022. Friends have been talking about Sonic Rush Adventure for ages, you know, certain people who grew up with it as well, trying to get me to play it again. I'm like, maybe soon, maybe I'll do it at some point, you know, but never really getting around to it. And then I watched a stream. It was like one of those BizHawk Shuffler streams, if you've ever seen them. The game changes it every, like, 2 minutes or something, for example. One of the games of Sonic Rush Adventure. I went, man, this boss music is so catchy. So I played it on the February Shuffle, which you could hear a few weeks ago. And after doing that, I was like, man, I need to play this game. Because this, I forgot how banging this soundtrack is, right? I've let go of, you know, the... can't think of words today. I let go of the aggression that Hideki Naganuma was on the soundtrack, because he revealed a couple years back that that wasn't his fault. He wanted to be, but he was on the Yakuza team and he was barred from composing on Sonic Rush Adventure. So learning that, and learning just how good of a job all the sound team did emulating his style, I was like, you know what, this soundtrack's really good. I've given it a proper fair chance. I think it's amazing. I wanna go ahead and play the game again. And I learned a little factoid, which I actually didn't know, about the Rush games, which is, if you play the Japanese cartridge on an English DS, you'll get access to the Japanese voices with the English text. It's like the exact same. There's no spelling errors or anything like that. It's not an earlier version of the script. The Japanese versions, from what I recall, came out later, so it is actually the final English script, but you actually get a different voice track, which I thought was interesting. I thought that'd be a nice way to shake things up. And that's one of the things that I loved about the game, is... I also tried Rush with the same thing, and to be honest with you, Junichi and Rush just sounds really strange. I don't know if it's muscle memory from having heard Jason Griffith's voice. You know, when you start the game, you get a Sonic Rush, etc. at the start of the game. That's nostalgic, right? You don't kind of get that with Junichi. He's just like, he comes in a bit later in the opening. He's like, yay, Sonic Rush! He sounds really cheery and happy, but it's not got the same punch to it. That's kind of what the first game feels like with the Japanese voice track. It's not got the same punch to it. It feels like it was a little bit of an afterthought. You know, Dimps probably were making it with the English track in mind first, which makes sense, because a lot of the like E3 demos we have access to, they're still using Ryan Drummond, who was Sonic's first voice actor in the games. So it's very possible that the Japanese dub was just a bit of a side thought in that game. We're like, oh, we'll put this in for the Japanese market, right? But where I'm going with this is, for Rush Adventure, I did actually complete the full game with it. It sounds so much more natural. It's almost like they planned it around, you know, the fact that this dub would be here. There's a lot more voice actors. The voices are a lot more well-spoken. That's not English, I don't think that. That was kind of a bit of broken English from me there. But it feels like a lot more of a complete package if you're playing with that voice track. And it feels a lot more appropriate. I don't know, it's just a bit more of a Japanese game in style. The original Rush had a bit of a, like I say, edgy feel to it, you know. And especially with the music, it kind of felt like a bit Western. But Rush Adventure kind of tones that in. It's still kind of got those vibes to it, but reels it back in a little bit more. And it actually feels very natural hearing Junichi, who's Sonic's Japanese voice actor, do all these things. Like... one of his trademarks is that in real life he's an English teacher, so in all of his dubs, which he's done from Adventure to date, he's still going, is, you know, he uses a lot of English words, and he'll get to the end of the stage and go, that's cool, and stuff like that. It's just really charming. And it just felt natural, like I say, to play with it. So I finished the entire game with it in the end, rather than hearing Jason go, yeah, yeah, woohoo, yeah, hey! It was like, I don't know, just like you say, a bit more planned, a bit more scripted, a bit more just generally fitting. So I found myself enjoying the game a lot more as a result. There's a lot of dialogue which goes unvoiced, it's just text boxes, which I also found funny. You know, Marine was a little bit annoying, but she did also have her moments of being very humorous and actually adding a lot to the plot. Blaze is grumpy as ever, and you know, this is Blaze when she was, dare I say, still a good character, you know, before this whole she's from the future thing. No, she was from another dimension, and she was the queen, the princess of that dimension, that's correct. You know, it was fun. It was a good game. I enjoyed the story, and I enjoyed the voice acting a lot as well. I later ended up restoring that save file to my proper English cartridge, so as a result, I can go back and play whichever one I want. If I want to go back to, like, the bonus levels, for example, which are dotted all around the island. One of which is even a remake of Leaf Storm from Sonic Rush, which I thought was quite fun. But I got a lot of playtime out of it in the end. I enjoyed it so much that I pretty much beat it, including the true ending, in one sitting. So I played it at like 2 a.m. one night and played up to the end of Machine Labyrinth, the second zone. I was like, okay, I'm going to put it down now and I'm going to go to bed. Next day, I picked it back up, then marathoned the rest of it. So I pretty much count it as one sitting, right? Because I only played it for like 20 minutes maybe on the first day. And then I played it for hours and hours on the next day. And such a beast of a game. Banging OST that goes with some great level design, minus the bottomless pits, but you can get around them, especially with muscle memory. Good level design, good level theming, tied together much nicer as a package. Larry said this to me when I was playing it, and I'm actually inclined to agree. It's something I never thought about before. Because I was talking to a Discord about playing this, and you know, this game's Kino, blah, 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 blah. And she pointed out a good thing to me, which is the difficulty at no point gets nerfed as a result of switching up the level order. Because for those of you who don't know how it works, Sonic's got his own level order in Sonic Rush, and it progressively gets harder and harder. Fair enough, right? On the other hand, Blaze the Cat, in order to make her different, because she's a completely separate story in that game, they switch her levels around. So you start on what is Sonic's fourth zone. And then I believe you go back to Leaf Storm, which is his first zone, and then you go to, like, they completely switched up the level order. If it was a pyramid, the pyramid, you know, the tip of the pyramid would be like somewhere in the middle. It's a very confusing progression system that I never really thought about before. But when that's pointed out to me, it's like, yeah, Rush Adventure actually is better in that way, because both characters are the same campaign. You can choose who you want. You don't have to beat the campaign a second time. And yeah, the level structure, general layout, and the difficulty spike doesn't get changed as a result. So actually, it's a bit of a better game in that way. Because I appreciate that they tried to make variety in Blaze's story, you know, through changing up the level. They don't change up anything in the levels themselves, but through changing up the level order. But you know, the problem with that, like was mentioned, is the difficulty spike is... It is spikes, it's not a curve, it's a spike in a lot of places. And especially, Blaze has the ability to hover in the air, which is really useful. Therefore, it's generally recommended to use her for your first playthrough to make it a little bit easier to graduate in for beginners, and then you go back to Sonic Story once you've got a bit of muscle memory for the levels. That's what I did, and I didn't find it too bad, because I'd been playing Rush for a little while. I could never beat it, but that's what they recommend. And then you go back to Sonic, who's got the right level, right level structure, and therefore just has a nice curve. But, you know, once again, you don't get that with Blaze. So, it's kind of strange to recommend playing as the beginner character first when she starts off with a level that's like four times harder than Sonic's first level. But it's doable, but Rush Adventure doesn't have such problems. You get a nice curve again, and you feel eased into each level. Even if they're not easy, you feel a little bit more eased into each level as a result of having learned and, you know, grown throughout the course of your adventure, right? I'm not talking groaning. You all groan a lot at Marine's horrible jokes, I'm sure. Or, just, you know, generally running off, I'm going to do my own thing now and I'm going to save the world. Please don't. You'll get yourself captured or something like that, like she does frequently. But I would highly recommend it. It's a brilliant game. It's always cheap. So go ahead and pick yourself up a copy. You know, everyone's got a DS or a 3DS these days lying around, right? Or something that can play DS games. We've all got access to such means. I mean, I've got like four 3DSs out where I am right now. And I've got quite a few DSs as well. And I'm sure, you know, you've got like siblings or family members who might still have theirs kicking around in the drawer. Give it a go. It's a fantastic game. Great variety. Great gameplay. Great music. That's the best part of it for me, really. Great music. Very satisfying conclusion to the story. It's not too difficult to get the true ending, not too time-consuming like a lot of other Sonic games as well. It's nicely paced, doesn't waste your time. Such a good game. Please go ahead and give it a go if you've not done so already, like I say. I don't think you'll regret your time with it. It's one for all the ages, one for all the types of Sonic fans. There's something to be loved about it for everyone. And if you had gripes of Sonic Rush and its level design and its pacing and structure, this is the upgrade you're looking for, in my opinion. Well then, let's get into round two of Codebreak, because I've been speaking for a long time. It's about time we got back to cracking some codes. You've already had round one. Now, here approaches a new challenger. Here's round number two. Codebreakers. you may recall that Codebreakers round number one was Slob by Yank. Slob by Yank. Now then, Codebreakers round two. Bale Oats. Bale Oats. B-A-I-L-O-A-T-S. What could that be an anagram of? Well, we know it's a song from Sonic Rush Adventure, but what song? That's what you need to let me know in an email, once again, to viper@radiosega.net, and use the subject Codebreakers. With that in mind, let's get on with some more music, and let's go into Machine Labyrinth, the place where all the code cracking takes place, I'm sure. There's no evil doings, there's no schemes going on there. They're just working on solving this week's Codebreakers, right? We'll get into that, and then we'll get into some Coral Cave, and then some Plant Kingdom, and maybe even another song, if I'm feeling so generous. This is Pick and Mix, right here on Radio Sega, and don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we're talking all things to do with our whopper Game Blast weekend, here on Radio Sega, and here on our various Twitch channels. It's Pick and Mix, kicking off the Radio Sega Live weekend where you are, with some great music, such as the following. Enjoy.
Radio Sega Live weekend in the most random way. This is Pick and Mix with Green Viper 8.
Welcome back, another banger block there. That was Boss, Whisker and Johnny. Before that was Plant Kingdom Act 1 and 2 Mix, Coral Cave Act 1 and 2 Mix, Machine Labyrinth Act 1 and 2 Mix, all of which are unsurprisingly from Sonic Rush Adventure. Now we're back and it's time to talk all things about Radio Sega's awesome, incredible, spectacular Game Blast weekend. So let's talk all things to do with it. So, Radio Sega goes to Game Blast again for charity. February 22 to March 3rd is the name of our blog post over on RadioSega.net. Thank you to Twinny for his great work, as always, and his great work on social media promoting this all and everything in general. But here's the point we're getting at right now. Game Blast weekend proper is the 25th and 27th of February, but we've got stuff going on for ages around to raise some money for special effects. The charity helping the physically disabled to continue to interact with video games and technology by creating them specialist peripherals tailored around their needs as an individual. If you'd like to find out more about them, you can go ahead and type in specialeffect.org.uk into your search engine / browser of choice, and that will take you to their website where you can learn all about them, what they do, some case studies, and just generally get to know the awesome people behind the great charity. So we're raising money for them, and we've been doing a good job at it so far. As of recording, I've raised £74 for them on my own streams, and I believe Shenmue Dojo have raised £75, and of course, this is before the event has even begun proper. As I'm saying this, it's currently 5 o'clock on Thursday, so, you know, we've not even started the weekend proper, and we've already made a good chunk of change for such a great charity. So let's keep going, let's keep the train rolling strong with some great content. So, to come, we've got, well, let's start with Friday. Currently, as you're hearing this, Casey might still be on his own Twitch channel, or he might have just finished. Either way, he's live on the 25th of February with Casey's Mixdown live over at twitch.tv/Casey_radioman. On Saturday, 12 to 4 p.m, you've got RS Live Plays with Greyfall, and he'll be playing Tetris Effect in VR, the sequel to his great Res Effect. That's a different game. Res Infinite stream last year. So you can go ahead and watch that on twitch.tv/RadioSega. Dwang's live at 4 p.m. The one and only Mr. D-Wang. That's on Radio Sega as well on our Twitch channel. do go ahead and check both those out. They're going to be amazing shows. 10 till 12 here on the Radio Sega airwaves is going to be February's Request Roulette episode with Gavi on SNS. I believe if you want to hear the higher numbers on the Request Roulette, you're going to have to pay to Special Effect. But what a great cause to hear those top numbers, right? Then, on Sunday the 27th of February, Rex is going to be live at 12 p.m. with a Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy Marathon. That's on twitch.tv/freakrexy, F-R-E-Q-R-E-X-Y. Sunday at 4 p.m. This one might still be a little bit up in the air. It's Turbo Drive Live with Turbo. He's going to be playing some Streets of Rage 4 Survival Mode over on twitch.tv/TurboDriveLive, or one word. I say up in the air as unfortunately he's contracted an illness. It's not like your standard cold or flu or anything like that. It's a little bit worse. So do be sure to send Turbo some love if you listen to this right now, because I think he really do with it. But it might be a bit up in the air as a result. I know he said all future streams for the week are cancelled, but I'm not sure if he was still trying to aim to do this. But if he's not, then, you know, absolutely fair. Get better soon, sir. Otherwise, if he is, then that's where you can go ahead and watch it. Then Sunday at 6 till 10:30, Shenmue Dojo, James and Matt will be live streaming, of course. What else would you think but some Shenmue Dojo content? Twitch.tv/Shenmue Dojo for that. Then the 28th, Lime Reversed, the man whose name shall never be known. What is Lime's real name? We don't know. But Lime Reversed will be live on his Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Lime Reversed. And Casey will be back on twitch.tv/Casey_RadioMan at 9 until 11:30 p.m. Then on Thursday, Lime will be live again on his own Twitch channel. Once again, twitch.tv/Lime Reversed. And Titch will be live on the Shenmue Dojo at 4 p.m. on Thursday. You can watch that once again. twitch.tv/Shenmue Dojo. What a great weekend, I'm sure you can agree. Thank you to everyone who's donated towards my own campaign. By the time you're hearing this, it will have been a pleasure to do 3 streams for you, but unfortunately, I don't have enough time. I wish I did. I wish I didn't have to choose. But, you know, I'd love to be able to do both Game Plus and go to Supersonic. Unfortunately, both weekends ended up clashing. So I've done the best of both worlds. I streamed ahead of the event. I hope you've enjoyed my last couple of streams. Like I say, it's been an absolute honour. I always love raising money for charity. It's one of my passions. So get involved in such an event is a huge, huge, huge honour for me. So thank you ever so much to everyone who helped make the dream happen. But yes, that's where you can catch our Game Blast weekend, and so much more still going on the Radio Sega airwaves not related to Game Blast throughout, including hopefully the return of VG Beats Box this coming Friday at 9 p.m. UK time, just after I finish. We're also going to have some Late and Live on the airwaves as well. Hopefully some Hidden Palace, some SNS, some RSN Live, some LMC Block, and a bit of Sega Mixer Drive for you all during the Game Blast weekend. Just not relating to the event itself, but I'm sure they'll be giving you plugs to make sure you're donating to the fantastic and worthy cause of the great folks over at Special Effect. Right then, Codebreakers Round 3 coming up right about now. Bit of a shorter talk break, but I think it makes up for the fact that I just couldn't stop talking in the last one. So let's get in some more codes, and then we'll get in some more music. Round number 3, the final round of Codebreakers. Don't go anywhere, because I'm coming back in literally 2 seconds. It'd be pointless to tune out now. You've made it this far, you might as well continue, right? And there we go, Codebreakers. So round number 1 of Codebreakers, once again, just in case you missed it, Slob by Yank. Codebreakers round number 2 was Bail Oats, B-A-I-L-O-A-T-S. And round number 3 now, Sighted Nerds. Sighted Nerds. Ever been on Sonic Retro or Sega Retro or any of those sort of wikis? Yeah, they're Sighted Nerds. C-I-T-E-D-N-E-R-D-S. Do let me know what that's an anagram of. Once again, for the final time, email me, viper@radiosega.net, and use the subject Codebreakers. Include all 3 of your answers in one, and I'll let you know the results of that on next week's show. Okay, now let's jump into some more music and another banger block, unsurprisingly. We've got Water Bike, then we've got an old returning favourite, and then we've got a Radio Sega classic. Then after that, we got a new twist on an old segment. You're going to want to hear it. You're not going to want to go anywhere. This is Pick and Mix, kicking off your Radio Sega Live weekend. And trust me, it's kicking off with a bang, with the bangers such as the following. Enjoy the music. Speak to you in a few moments' time.
Want to catch more Pick and Mix? Find us and various other Radio Sega shows on your podcast service of choice. Or you can download any show, past or present, from RadioSega.net.
Back, it's Request the Monarchy time with a twist. But before that, you had Sky Babylon Act 1 and 2 Mix, a Radio Sega classic. It's in the history books. For that, from Sonic Rush Adventure once again, that was the boss theme. Heard it a couple weeks ago on Pick a Mix, but you had to hear it again. And kick off a block from Sonic Rush Adventure, that was Water Bike. Now we are back, and it is time for Requester Monarchy. Now, it's not actually Requester Monarchy. I'm calling this the Requester Monarchy Spotlight. We're going to shine a bright old spotlight on one person who's been doing some good work over on the Radio Sega charts. So if you've not done so already, get yourself on over to RadioSega.net. Get yourself a forum account if you somehow don't have one, and get requesting your favourite songs. This one person's not the top of the list. However, I've seen some great activity from them recently, despite them not having been on my own personal radar before. Tonight, we're shining the spotlight on Hydroloach, an old beat here on the Radio Sega forums. but a newcomer to the request charts, and therefore a new individual on Request a Monarchy. Like I say, not number one in the charts, but certainly someone who's up and coming, regularly up there, regularly requesting a lot of tunes, and a lot of great ones at that. So I've gone and dug through their top requests. We've got three tracks, which just so happen to have all the same amount of requests, all relating to the theme of tonight's show. So they're all going to be Sonic tracks, but all from different games. We got some Sonic CD, some Sonic Generations, and some Sonic Spinball music coming up for you in the following segment. But once again, huge shout out to Hydroloach. Here's hoping you become a requester monarch sooner rather than later, and hopefully this is the inspiration you need to get to the top of the charts. That in mind, let's kick things off with a track from Sonic Generations. It's City Escape. Not what you think of. It's not Cash Cash time, not Act 1 time. It's Act 2, Escape from the City, the Blue Blur remix. When we come back, it's going to be time to end off the show, but not before we hear Hydroloach's top three individual spotlighted requests from this past week here on the Radio Sega playlist. Congratulations once again. Here's to more high placements in the future in the Radio Sega request charts. And all I can do is congratulate you as we go on into your top three. Kicking it off, like I say, with some City Escape from Sonic Generations. When we come back, it's time to end off the show. Enjoy the music, and back in a few moments' time.
I'm
are back for one last time. This is Pick and Mix, and what you just heard there was the top three requests from none other than Hydroloach. Thank you ever so much for requesting. Best of luck to you on your journeys on Request a Monarchy in the future. They were all tied with the same amount of requests, so I went ahead and picked them for this week's spotlight. I say this week as if it's going to be a recurring thing. Maybe when I'm pre-recording, who knows. But in at number one, that was none other than Toxic Caves from Sonic the Hedgehog Spinball. In at number two from Sonic CD, it was the Metallic Madness Past Mix. And in at number three from Sonic Generations was City Escape Act 2, Escape from the City, the Blue Blur Remix. Well, that's been it from me. Thank you ever so much to everyone who's been listening. I've had a great time recording this over the last hour and a bit, and I'm sure you will hopefully have enjoyed listening to it as well. If you listen on the podcast or Lurk, thank you ever so much as well. Be sure to let me know what you thought over on Discord. That's radiose.ga/Discord or at Radio Sega, or using hashtag RSPickNMix over on Twitter. I will greatly appreciate any feedback you happen to have. So then, next week, I'm hoping it will be a Radio Sega Shuffle. There is the very real opportunity that I might not be at home next Friday, however. So if that is the case, maybe I might have some technical problems with my computer. In which case, I'll swap things around. So I might end up doing the Rap Megamix next week if I'm unable to do the Shuffle. And the Shuffle will be following the week after. Otherwise, Shuffle's the plan, but it might be the Rap Megamix. Depending on how things go, depending on how my own personal schedule's looking, if I'll be home, etc. But either way, I've got a show of some sort planned for you next week. It's going to be a good one, and I'll be back live if I'm able to be. I'm pretty sure, like 95% sure, I will be able to do it live, but who knows. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and read out for you what's coming up next. So as soon as I end, or potentially a couple of minutes after, we'll have VG Beats Box with the man VG Beats himself. Fingers crossed he's back and all good to go. And we'll be having the return of the triple stacked Friday schedule. Latent Lives on Fridays at 10 p.m. UK time. The Hidden Palace with Skyblaze is on Saturdays at 9 p.m. SNS is back with Gavi and part of our Game Blast celebrations at 10 p.m. UK time. RSN Live Sundays at 2 a.m. with Voice and the Mumble Crew. Got the LMC block at Sundays at 7 p.m. That should be an LMC cast, I believe. Then we'll have Sega Mix Drive Sundays at 8 p.m. with Rexy. Sega Guys Retropod still airing as part of our Radio Sega Guest Night block, Mondays at 6 p.m. and Dreamcast Years Mondays at 8 p.m. Glitch is not on. I don't know why that's still on the schedule, but that you can go ahead and catch it on all your favourite podcast services and listen all the way back through Season 3 with Gavi. It was a great one. Then Shenmue Dojo is back Thursdays at 8 p.m. UK time with the folks over at the Shenmue Dojo. The Strictly Sonic Show should be back Thursdays at 10 p.m. with CD-ROM 1019. And that brings us all the way back around to Pick and Mix Fridays at 7 p.m. UK time. Once again, don't forget to tune in to our Game Blast weekend here on Radio Sega. Go to RadioSega.net and click on the first post on the community bulletin if you're listening to this around the time it airs. And you can go ahead and find all the links you need, all the donation links, all of the Twitch links, and the full schedule as well for you. Outside of that, once again, I'm going to Western Supersonic this weekend. I'm sure you're not sick of hearing that if you've been listening to my live stream. So if you are indeed there, please come over and say hello. And please come over and say hello to Forever Sonic as well. I'm sure he'll appreciate the attention. Over on in our Radio Sega booth, providing that is indeed still the plan. Otherwise, I'll be around, like I say, so be sure to come over and say hi, and we'll hang out and all that sort of stuff. We'll have some fun, you know. But thank you ever so much all one more time for listening. I'm gonna leave you with a song now. It's from Sonic Rush Adventure. Who would have known? It's the normal final boss theme. Now, I love Deep Core, the true final boss. The music to it is phenomenal. Really gets you pumped in the mood to kick some butt. But I think I actually prefer Big Swell, the normal final boss theme. So I've left it till the end here. It's so good. Get the volume up, and you're going to want to keep it up for the next two shows if you're listening live. Thank you ever so much once again to everyone who's been catching the show. I appreciate you, and join me for a live Pick and Mix where you can come and let your thanks be known live with me at 7 p.m. UK time. But for now, we've got a busy weekend here at Radio Sega, so keep it locked, keep your dial to all things Radio Sega for the next 72 hours. You're not going to regret it. But for me, that's been it. Thank you all. Catch you next week. And enjoy your Game Blast weekend. Here's some Sonic Rush Adventure to play me out. Ta-ta for now. And, well, here's to some great things to come over the course of the weekend and throughout next week. Have a good one all, and speak to you soon.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.